That's Matthew chapter 27, verses 33 through 37. As you're finding your place this morning, in honor of the Word of God, would you please stand to your feet as we read the Word of God together. Matthew chapter 27, beginning at verse 33. And then when they were coming to a place called Golgotha, that is to say a place of a skull, they gave him vinegar to drink, mingled with gall. And when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. And they crucified him and parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, "They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots." And sitting down, they watched him there, and set up over his head his accusation written, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for the Bible. Thank you for this passage of Scripture about Christ and him dying for my sin and all man's sin. Thank you. Thank you that someone loved me enough and loved us enough to do that. Now, Father, I pray today that you would touch our hearts to not only hear what's preached, but to do what's preached. Speak to us, help us today. We're needy people. And Father, if there's someone in this room, I pray that if they need to be saved by this Jesus that we just read about, that today before they leave this room, they would trust and accept him as their Savior. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated.
As you're being seated now, I'll ask that you'll check your cell phone, electronic device, and make sure it is turned off or to vibrate, please. We'd appreciate that very much. Also, we ask now that these next few moments that you'll sit and listen very carefully. We're a nation of spectators. We'd rather watch something than participate, I think. The gospel that we just read, Matthew's gospel, in each of the four gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they all record what took place at Calvary when Jesus died on the cross. In this particular passage, there's a simple statement made in Matthew chapter 27 and verse 36. And it says, "And sitting down, they watched him there." Crucifixion had become very common in those days. 30-some thousand people were crucified in Palestine during the life of Jesus Christ. He lived 33 years. That's about 1,000 a year, about 20 a week. It was not uncommon. The Romans used crucifixion not only to execute people, but to torture them, to humiliate their families, and to send a message to everyone else that if you cross us, this is what's going to happen to you. Crucifixion, as you know, does not kill somebody. You can drive nails through their hands and their feet and hang them by their body weight on a cross, and that will not kill them. I almost brought today the video I have when I was in the Philippines right before Easter, where every year somewhere between 12 and 15 people allow themselves to be nailed to a cross in reenacting what Jesus did. And I went to one of those, my wife and I. And I thought, no, that's not really the point of this message today. Crucifixion kills somebody because they can no longer pull themselves up by the weight of the nails through their hands and their feet, and they suffocate. So that's why they beat them before they crucify them. They want the blood loss to weaken them so they can no longer pull themselves up to draw their breath, and hanging from their body weight cuts off the windpipe and they suffocate. People have been known to live 3 and 4 days on the cross before they died. It was always done in a public place and always with the purpose of a slow but torturous death. Jesus was crucified. It says here, as I mentioned a moment ago in this passage, that sitting down, they watched him there. It became such a common thing, crucifixion, and it became a popular thing. People would come to just watch the crucifixion, to watch people nailed to a wooden cross and hung by their body weight and struggle and suffer and die slowly. Some people were forced to come to the crucifixion. See, they would use, they'd take their families, the executed one, the condemned soul, person would, they would make their family come and watch it, sit at the foot of the cross and watch their loved one die. The soldiers were forced to come. They had to do the crucifying. They'd gotten to the place where they became expert at knowing if you drive a nail into someone's hand here and you hang them by their body weight, it would tear loose. So they drive it at the base of the wrist where it catches enough bone so it holds them. They cross their knees, bend their knees and cross their ankles and drive the nail through their ankles into that. No mercy. They didn't care. It was just a job to them. They had to go. Some were forced to come. Some came because they wanted to see this. See, they witnessed against the person who was executed, and because they witnessed against them, they wanted to see him get what they had coming to him. So there was revenge in their heart. They came to watch that person who murdered someone of their loved ones, watch him hang there and die. So some came because they were there out of revenge. And the saddest part of it all is some people came just because they wanted to just watch it. They'd bring a lunch and a meal, and they would sit there and watch people struggle and suffer and die. And it was like a spectator sport to them. So when the Bible says here in Matthew 27:36, and sitting down, they watched him there. Some were forced. Some were out of revenge. You're going down through the passage. The religious crowd is hurling curses and swearing at Jesus, not profanity. They're defying him for who he is and what he's doing. And they're up there. So they're out of revenge. They wanted Jesus crucified. His mother Mary is sitting at the foot of the cross. Two other godly ladies, Mary's sister, and another Mary named wife of Cleopas. And one disciple, John. And then around the crowd is a bunch of people sitting there munching on food, watching people die, and sitting down, they watched him there. Now, the message and thought this morning is this. If you were there at the foot of the cross that day when Jesus was crucified, what would you see? Sitting, if you were in that crowd that day, never mind the why of it all, just if you were in that crowd that day, sitting down, watching him there, what would you see? Would you see, first of all, why Jesus was there? Would you see that? But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Would you see that if you were there at the cross that day? Would you see that Jesus is there on the cross paying for sin? Our sin nailed Jesus Christ to the cross. Roman soldiers did not nail him to the cross. They drove the nails, but our sin made the nails and the cross and the suffering and the consequence and the payment. Our sin put him there. Would you see that? Would you see Jesus Christ, the Son of God and God the Son? It'll even go on down to the verses here, and as the religious crowd hurl their accusations against him, they'll even say, "You said you were the Son of God. Pull those nails out and come down, and we'll believe you then." But if you stood at the foot of the cross, would you see this? Would you see that why Jesus was there? Jesus was there for my sins. Not only is he making one great payment for all the sins of mankind. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "He had made him to be sin who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." That Jesus Christ is making one great payment for the sins of all mankind. All those before the cross, all those after the cross, one payment. Everything is focused in this one moment where Jesus Christ, the perfect, sinless Son of God, and God the Son is taking upon him sin, who knew no sin, that we, by his payment, could be made the righteousness of God in him. Would you see that, please, today? If you were at the foot of the cross, is that what you would see? Would you look up at him and say, "He is doing that for me"? Because that's what salvation, how salvation comes to a soul. Not that Jesus died for everyone, but that each one of us see that Jesus died for you. He died for me. And that his payment is my payment for sin. That his death on the cross is my salvation. My salvation from hell and salvation for heaven is the payment Jesus made on the cross. Would you see that today? See, ladies and gentlemen, that's all God wants us to do to be saved. No, I understand. I understand this morning there's repentance and faith. I understand that you, by God's grace, must turn from your sin to Christ. That doesn't mean you give up sin. It means you must realize that this is wrong, whatever it is. I don't care if it's religious sin, baptism for salvation, good church, good works, good life, good deeds, good philosophy. That's just as much sin as alcohol and drugs and liquor and pornography and everything else. It's all sin if it keeps us from coming to Christ. You turn from that to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. But you must make it personal. You must stand at the foot of the cross and look up at Him and say, He is doing that for me. If you stood at the foot of the cross that day, what would you see? Would you see why Jesus was there? Would you see that He's there because He loves you? God commendeth His love. The word commend in the Bible means put to an open display. God commended His love. God let His Son, Jesus, go to the cross, and Jesus, the Son of God, and God the Son, was willing to go to the cross for love's sake. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Would you see the great love behind that sacrifice that He made? The payment He was willing to endure? The suffering through which He was willing to go? Do you see that? Because He loves you, friend. Would you see, if you stood at the foot of the cross that day, would you see that why Jesus was there was because He was making certain there is no other way of salvation? See, one thing about this cross, this symbol of the cross, you'll notice the narrowest point of the cross here is the foot of the cross. Because to come to God through Christ, you have to come God's way. He made it simple for us. Some people think it's exclusive, but in reality it is exclusive. But also in reality it's this: you come to God through Christ or you don't come. For Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You see how the arms of the cross are extended out so anyone over this way and anyone over that way can come here to the foot of the cross and trust not the cross but the Savior on the cross for their salvation. Don't you understand? If you were there, would you look up at the cross and say, now I understand. There is no other way of salvation. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Acts 4:12. Do you see it today? Do you see why if you don't come to Christ and accept Him as your Savior, God will not let you into heaven and will most certainly send you to hell? I know it's not politically correct today. It's amazing to me in a society rife with profanity how people are offended by the fact that if you tell them, biblically speaking, if you don't accept Christ, you're going to hell. They find that offensive. They don't mind using the word all the time. They don't mind dropping it every 5 seconds in their conversation. That doesn't bother them whatsoever. But if you tell them there really is a place called hell, it burns with fire and torment and suffering forever and ever and ever, then people say, well, you know, I just think that's a little abrupt, that's a little rude. It's the truth. And the important thing is this: if you stood at the foot of the cross, you'd look up at Him, you'd know baptism couldn't save you. Now, if that's what He has to do to pay for my sins, no dunk in the water, no sprinkle, no pour, nothing, no church member, my name on a piece of paper is going to get me to heaven. No! You look at the foot of the cross, stand up there and look at Jesus and see His suffering and the torment through which He went when God took the punishment and the penalty and the payment of our sin and He put it upon His own beloved Son, and stand there and tell me your good works get you to heaven. That's not right. And don't you understand why then God will not let anyone into heaven unless you come to God through that payment that Jesus made? Sitting down, they watched Him there. You see how much He loves you. How there's no hope of salvation but through Christ. If you were there at the cross that day, what would you see? Would you look around at the crowd who's there? There's a mixed multitude, as it were, at the foot of the cross. Some are there, and they're missing the entire importance of this event. You know, it's like our day and age today where people have to always be looking at their cell phones. Watch a sporting event. Big stuff going on in the field. Every now and then they'll pan the audience and what's somebody up there doing? They're texting somebody about what they're not watching. I was in a restaurant here the other night with my wife on a date. Young couple came in. I don't know if they're married or not. They sat there on their cell phone through the whole time they were together. I didn't watch the whole time they were there, but the time that I saw them, only time they looked up from their cell phone and their texting or social media surfing or whatever it was they were doing was to order their food and then right back to it. And I thought, if that phone could chew the food for them, they wouldn't even have to look up. What a fascinating date to go out with somebody and sit there on your stupid cell phone the whole time. Passed a car the other day. Mom and dad in the front seat, two kids in the back seat. Dad, fortunately, was driving and not texting and looking at his phone. Mom had her little tablet open. Junior was in the back seat with his iPhone doing something. And Pee-wee, the little girl, was sitting over there on her little tablet playing a game, and they were going somewhere on a family outing. Go up and sit in the woods and play with your video game. Is somebody missing something here? Can you imagine that? Sitting there at the foot of the cross, you look around. Look at me. The Son of God has come, and all of the plan of God's amazing grace is coming together in this moment, and there are people there who are missing the whole thing. Soldiers are gambling at the foot of the cross for his clothes. It's just another, well, it was, to them, it was just another crucifixion. I know they're missing it. It's not just a criminal. That's not a criminal. That's the Son of God, and he is even paying for your sins. And they're splattered by the blood and by the spittle of the enemies. They're gambling for Jesus' clothes at the foot of the cross. They're missing the whole thing. The curiosity seekers who came and brought their lunch to have a little enjoyable afternoon watching suffering, they're missing this. They're not getting it. Don't you know most people, ladies and gentlemen, are going to go through life and never know why Jesus died on the cross and never make it personal to them. Many who even believe that he did are not trusting his payment for their salvation. They're missing it. They're going to churches with Jesus, and he's even nailed on a cross for some of their churches. They have the symbol of it all, and they have the Christian name to it, and blah, 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 blah. But they're missing the whole point of what's going on. In that crowd were a bunch of people who missed the whole thing. You know what? In that crowd was a bunch of people who knew what was going on, knew why he was doing it, and rejected him for it. And the sad part is most of the religious people who came to the cross left as lost as they came. They spit at him. They mock him. Yeah. You said you'd destroy the temple in 3 days and then raise it again. Come on, let's see you pull that one off of here. You said you were the Son of God. Then if you're really the Son of God and you healed all those people, and many of these people who are mocking him saw him at Lazarus' grave dead 4 days when he called him out of that tomb very much alive. They saw him. They sat there, the same crowd, the religious crowd, even ate of the bread, loaves and fishes he fed multitudes with. They saw him do miracles. They just wanted to see one more, just one more. Pull the nails out and come down. We'll believe who you really are. They actually came to the cross and rejected what Jesus did. People still do that, you know, because it's not the religion that they were raised with. Well, that's contrary to what I believe. I don't mean to insult anybody's religion, but let me try. Here's the point. Ladies and gentlemen, anything but Jesus sends you to hell. And I don't care who it is, how many people's in it, or how many people are involved in it. I don't care if there's Baptists on the sign out front. If you don't trust Christ, you're not going to heaven. And the truth of the matter is, anything or anyone that does not accept Christ as their Savior alone for salvation is rejecting him. Because the Bible even says in John chapter 3 and 36, it says, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. You have him or you don't. You trust in him or you're not. It's Jesus alone for salvation or nothing else. There are people there who even know who he is and what he's doing, and they still rejected him. Witness to a man one day who very kindly listened to everything I told him about salvation. that we're sinners, that there's a penalty for sin, that Jesus died and paid the penalty. And he agreed with me. He said, yes. And I said, sir, then do you realize if you were just be willing to trust Christ and ask him to save you right now, he would be willing to do that. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And he looked at me and he smiled and then he did this. He goes, no, thank you. And he turned around and walked off. I was shocked. I stood there and I thought, he listened to this whole thing, knew exactly what it was, and turned Jesus down. One man told me one day when I witnessed to him, he said, then according to what you're telling me, my people are not in heaven. I said, I can't answer that. And your people wouldn't even want me to answer that question. Your people, wherever they are in eternity, would want you to settle it today. That's for certain. He looked at me and he said, if they're not there, I'm not going. I'd prefer hell. Now see, that's the kind of people who will turn down Christ. We understand that. Look at me. Anyone who won't accept what he did on the cross for their salvation is still rejecting him. Most of the religious people who came to Calvary left lost and went into eternity that way. Jesus said, many will come to me in that day and say, Lord, Lord, have we not done mighty works in your name and cast out devils in your name and prophesied in your name? And Jesus will say to them, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never knew you. Would you see in the crowd, would you see just a little, look here, would you just see a little handful of people right there? Mary, two godly ladies, and one disciple. See, the reason they would make the family sit by the cross and watch it was not only to see it, but when people would go by, they'd spit out the person on the cross. So the people sitting at the foot of the cross would get spittle on them too. As they pulled themselves up to breathe and blood would spew off their bodies or come off of their bodies and things, their family would get splattered in the blood themselves. They wanted the humiliation to carry over to their family. And there's his mother, and there's two godly ladies and one disciple at the foot of the cross. And in Jesus' greatest hour of suffering, there was at least a couple of people who stood by him. Would you see that in the midst of the crowd? Now look at me, friend. Look at me. It's never going to be popular to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. Never. You're not going to get the crowd going that direction. And the largest, biggest stuff that's called Christian today doesn't look much like Christian, doesn't even act like it, frankly. Now, do you understand something? To stand by the foot of the cross, you're going to have to bear some humiliation for that because of who he is and what he did. But you know something? You know why his mother Mary was there? It's not because she was the queen of heaven and lived perfect, sinless life. She even said it herself in Luke chapter 2. He was her Savior. Mary, her sister, accepted Christ. Mary Cleophas, she accepted Christ. John accepted Christ. They're at the foot of the cross because they had accepted what Jesus would do for them, knew what it meant, said by him, and when he was rejected, they stood for Jesus Christ. Do you? Back in the early 70s, there's this movement started by Jerry Falwell called the Moral Majority. The idea was to try to get people with some kind of moral beliefs to stand up and stop this country from going down the tubes. By the way, the moral majority was a complete failure. Do you know why? Because you can't save America by political process. You save America by one person at a time. One person at a time taking their stand for Jesus Christ. We got way too many secret Christians. As far as they'd ever go is a fish bumper sticker on their car. But you'd never know they were a child of God by how they live and what they do. Let me tell you something, friend. It's time for God's people to take a stand for Christ. Not being unkind, not being rude about it, but let me tell you something. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. If you stood at the foot of the cross, what would you see? Would you see who wasn't there? Where are all these people that he helped? I know at least on two occasions Jesus fed almost 20,000 people. The 5 and the 4,000, I understand, but they're just counting the men folk. If there were women there and children, 10, 15,000 apiece, 30,000 some odd people watched him take a handful of loaves, little bitty loaves, not loaves, little bitty loaves and little bitty fishes and broke them and fed all those people and had food left over. Where are those people? Where are those people that, there's places in the Gospels, and I read it in Mark again this morning, he would go into a village and leave the village and everybody in the village was healed. Everyone. He'd walk through a crowd of people and if they would just reach out and touch the hem of his garment, when he passed by, the Bible said they were made completely whole. Just touching the hem of his garment when he passed by. Where are those people? Where are those people who saw the miracles, heard the words, and stood there that day and laid palm branches in the pathway to the city of Jerusalem and said, Hosanna to the Son of David in the highest? Where are these people? Where are the other 11 disciples? Well, I know one of them's out hanging himself because he betrayed Jesus for the price of a crippled slave, 30 pieces of silver. But then there should have been 10 more. There was just one. Where are the rest of them? Those guys, now listen, those people, those guys saw everything. Now John was there, but where's Peter and James? Well, Peter swore, cursed and swore and denied he ever knew who the Lord was. But where are these people? Look around at the crowd. Shouldn't there be like a whole multitude of people there saying, no, wait a minute, we were fed at his hand. No, we saw Lazarus raised from the dead. We saw the widow of Nain's son raised from the dead. We were there. We saw all of this. You stood at the foot of the cross and you looked up. What would you see? You looked down at the crowd and wouldn't you be amazed of where is everybody? Where are all these people who benefited so much from the Lord? I'll tell you something right now, friend. Look at me. I've had it right up to here with people who've decided they're going to do what the world does, live like the world, act like the world, talk like the world, and then throw a little Jesus in there to make themselves look spiritual. Either stand up for Jesus, or shut up for Jesus. One or the other. See, it should matter to us. That people speak disparagingly of our Savior. Now, one more time. I'm not asking you to go out and be unkind to folks. If somebody says or says, does something, you jump up and let them have it. And all. And I'm not saying that. But you know, I wonder if anybody in your neighborhood even knows you're a Christian. I mean, you say, well, they see me dressed up going to church on Sunday. Hey, you could be dressed up nice going to the mall. You'd be the only one, but okay. Remember the days when you dressed up to go to the airport? Huh? Everybody over 50 is going, yeah. Now I just like people to put clothes on to go to the airport. That would be really nice. Sitting on a plane the other day flying somewhere, and there's a two-seat here, three-seat, four-seat in the middle, two-seat there, and they put me in this two-seater, and I went over to sit down, and there was a girl sitting there without enough clothes on to make blinders for a hummingbird. And I just thought, man, I said, is there another spot maybe I could just see? Well, you're just being holier than thou. I'm not going to sit there like that, okay? I was by myself. My wife wasn't with me. I didn't want to do that. So, you know, the truth of the matter, I'm getting off the subject a little bit this morning, so forgive me. It would just be nice if somebody would learn the word appropriate, look it up in the dictionary or Google it or whatever the case may be and get with the program. The truth of the matter is, don't you understand something? Listen to me. Don't you understand, ladies and gentlemen? Wouldn't it be nice if somebody besides Miley Cyrus would let people know she was a Christian and actually start to act like it? Wouldn't that be nice if Katy Perry is raised by Christian parents? Wouldn't it be nice if these people who look like whores and dress like that and talk like it and act like it? Wouldn't it be nice for them to either say, I'm wrong, I can't do this anymore, or shut up and quit rubbing the name of Jesus in the filth of this world? Where are they? I'm 31 years plus I've been living in Redding, California. Love this place. I've been told all these years about this large Christian community in Redding, California. Well, I've seen a few and I've found a few and there's a bunch in this room. But other than that, I just kind of like to know what's happening to our city and our area. Don't you understand? You and I are salt and light. We're not here to shove anything down anybody's throat, but my dear friend, salt preserves and flavors and light illuminates the darkness. And it's about time God's people turn the light on. Where are they? Shouldn't there be more disciples than just one? After all he did for them. I'll finish and let you out of here so you can get mad at me. If you were at the foot of the cross that day, what would you see? Would you see those who you could not see? You know who's watching this whole thing? God the Father. Isaiah 53, read it sometime. Bible said he'd look on the suffering of his son and he'd be pleased. That he would accept what Jesus did, but the father watched the whole thing. Is there anything more difficult than a parent who watches one of their children suffer? That's hard. And they're sick or they're not well or they're going through something really difficult. That's tough, isn't it? Oh, yes. Can you imagine God the Father watching God the Son become sin for us that knew no sin? Watch him get spit on. They beat him so much they couldn't even tell he was a human being anymore. and they nailed his bloody, pulpy body to that cross and then spit on him and mocked him and made fun of him. The Father watched the whole thing go on. You want to know how much Jesus loves you? Go to the cross. You want to know how much the Father loves you? Watch the cross and realize he could have reached down and called 10,000 angels and scattered that crowd and split the thing open and let everybody else fall in hell. But he didn't do it because he wanted someone to pay for your sins and mine. And he said to sit and watch the whole thing. The assembled hosts of heaven are watching. Angels can't get saved, but the Bible says that they do in the end of the gospel, into the times, they carry the everlasting gospel across this earth. They don't witness. They take it as message to messengers and carry it. The angels are very attentive to the whole thing. Those Old Testament saints, they were watching. Jesus was about to open the door, not give them salvation. They already had it. They looked forward to what Jesus did. They were watching. I don't know theologically if this is sound or not, but I believe the assembled in hell did. Oh my. There's this whole unseen crowd that watches what's happening at the foot of the cross, knew exactly what it was. The devil watched. Oh yes. He knows his victory is going to be temporary, but he watched. Don't you understand this morning, friend? When your moment comes to step up and step out for God, don't you understand there's a whole host assembly of people who watch you, hoping you'll do your part? The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11 that they, those who are in heaven, are not made perfect without us until we run our race. There's something incomplete about their lives until we do what we should. Some people would just see it as another crucifixion. What would you see when you went to the cross? And sitting down, they watched him there. Let's stand our feet, please, this morning.